Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 7th. I thought I would kick off today with the S&P 500. There are a number of aspects to the chart that are worth highlighting. The first is that it made a new all-time high a week ago and hasn't been able to sustain the move. So far, the reaction is relatively similar size to the ones we saw in March, both at the beginning and the end of the month. And we're seeing some steadying in the region of the upper side of the most recent one of those ranges. I think, though, that we do need to take a little bit of a bigger picture look and zoom out to maybe a 10-year chart. And when we look at that chart, well, we can see that there were two rather important peaks around this area. So it wouldn't be at all surprising if we were to get a somewhat larger pullback in the region of the previous peak. And that is, I think, certainly on the cards. Now, there is ample room in which to consolidate and still be above the trend mean, but that does suggest that there's approximately 100 points of fat that could be taken out of the index, and it would still be in a reasonably benign environment. Obviously, this is a direct response to the trade war rhetoric that has certainly been amped up over the last 48 hours. Shortly after I finished recording the video yesterday, we had the announcement that they're going to impose tariffs after all on Friday. Well, it's going to require a very quick agreement in order to defray that risk. Well, one of the reasons that the market has been rallying all of this year is because the market investors have been pricing in that a deal is going to be done. Well, any risk that a deal is not going to be done is obviously then something that is going to have to be priced back out of the market, and that does suggest we are in for at least some consolidation in here. And that consolidation could represent a multi-month pullback, and it needn't necessarily go all the way back down to the lows. I would rather hope that it doesn't. The most benign environment would be that it finds support in the region of the trend mean. But I think what we can anticipate is that it could take a while before we see the index push through the 3000 level. There's still the potential that it will do that. It's just that we need some consolidation first. And that's equally true of the European markets. So, for example, when we look at the Euro Stoxx 50, it pulled back sharply in here today and unwound the rebound that we saw yesterday from the intraday lows. There's still a sequence of lower major rally highs. And 3,500 points is a bit of a psychological level. This is another index that does have room in which to consolidate, but then that is assuming that the region of the trend mean continues to hold, and that's only 80 points away. And considering that it moved 60 points in here today, that could be tested tomorrow. But the bigger picture is that Europe is at a point where additional monetary or fiscal assistance is required. Well, German growth is slowing down. And it is Germany that has been most vociferous in its defending the fiscal austerity program introduced almost a decade ago. Well, if Germany does see that we have greater pressure on the Eurozone economy and the domestic German economy, well, then appetite for that fiscal austerity is likely to wane. I certainly think that there is scope for some additional upside in the Euro Stoxx, not least because it's been ranging for the last 4 years, but also because we're significantly below the peaks. And I think that there is some rationale for thinking that there is a potential for a domestic-led play rather than the export-led play. It's the exporters are dragging the index lower right now. And of course, this particular index is loaded with those large cap export-oriented companies. Well, then of course there is the question of the euro. And the euro was in slightly negative territory in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. I do think that it is more likely than not that the more pressure that comes to bear on the European economy and the stock market, that the ECB will intervene and re-engage with quantitative easing. Meanwhile, German bunds are already pricing that in. And they're back below 0% in here today and in a dynamic manner. I think the other point, of course, is that when we look at it from a just a year chart, there's been a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs over the last few months. If we then go and look at the 10-year Treasury yield, well, then we also are presented with a reasonably consistent downtrend since October of last year. And the most recent high was around 2.6%. That represented the lower side of the overhead trading range. And now the yield is coming back down. Well, that is supported by what still looks like a reasonably consistent uptrend in the Treasury price. It got back up to this 124 area again in here today, but it wasn't quite able to hold or to push through it. I think there's a scope that it will continue to rally from here because bond investors have concluded we're at the top of the interest rate cycle. And that's regardless of the ambivalent statements that Fed officials have been making over the course of the last few weeks. The other point I think is worth considering when we think about, for example, the Nasdaq and the S&P 500. Those are the two indices that had really pushed on to new high ground, and the Nasdaq was well off its lows in here today. Then, if we look at the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, well, that index also has room in which to consolidate, but I think it's also worth considering that there are a significant number of the constituents of this index do not look like this. So, when we look at the best performers over the course of this year, there are some that have done really very well. And in fact, every constituent of the index is in positive territory. But then, when we look at some of the individual constituents of the index. Well, Nvidia has barely rallied at all, and it's encountering resistance in the region of the trend mean. And they are highly dependent on the gaming market, and China is a very big gaming market. And Micron Technology is also pulling back from the region of its trend mean. Well, what this is suggesting is that we've had a complete rotation within the semiconductors sector. AMD, which had rallied rather impressively off its lows from early this year, also looks like it is consolidating. Meanwhile, Qualcomm, fresh off the back of its victory over Apple in a lawsuit, has surged higher, and now it does look like we're going to get some consolidation of that move. A 50% advance in the space of 2 weeks is probably enough for people to consider that it might be time to take some profits. Well, when we think about these topics, the other point is that the Dow Jones has not broken out to new highs, and it is pulling back now from the upper side of its range, but it is off its lows. And the transportation index is also underperforming and has not been able to push up to new highs. And the banking sector has also been underperforming, and it was weaker in here today as well. But of course, this is all occurring following what has been a very impressive 4 month advance. Now, the bigger question is whether these weaker indices are going to hold on to the majority of those near-term advances, or whether we're going to see further trend deterioration. The Russell 2000 did successfully break up and out of its 6 month range on Friday and improved upon that performance yesterday, but has pulled back into the range in here today. Well, downside follow-through tomorrow would greatly increase the scope that it's going to go back down and test the 1500 point level, but the broader picture is that it's been underperforming now for much of this year so far. So it is these underperforming indices, I think, are the ones that are most need to be most carefully watched, because they more accurately reflect the domestic U.S. economy rather than the global economy. And the high technology sector, most particularly the FANGs, are very highly leveraged in terms of momentum. So there has this advance we've seen over the last couple of weeks has not been as broadly based in terms of breadth as the full advance up from the lows after Christmas. Well, that's representative of a further intensification of interest in these mega cap technology shares, but we do have to pay attention to what's happening to the small caps and to the banking sector. Now, when we look at the commodity complex, well, Brent crude was negative in here today, and it helps if I put up the right chart, and that has unwound most of the rebound we saw yesterday. It's still around this $70 area, and this is about where we really do need to see support coming back through if this is to be considered a consolidation. It's right in the region of the trend mean, so that is also an area of potential support. But we do need to start to see that support coming through, and a couple of days on the upside consecutively would certainly help in that regard. If it fails at this level, well, then that is, we've already seen an inconsistency by having a somewhat larger pullback. But if it fails in this level, well, then that is going to nail the consistency of this trend. Then there is the potential we're going to see significant a significant uptick in volatility. Well, speaking of volatility, I think it's worth looking at European volatility, because it's not something we look at all that often, and it has popped on the upside. It is now testing its sequence of lower rally highs. The VIX index has also popped on the upside. It wasn't quite able to hold all of the advance in here today, which is a positive, but it has certainly broken its progression of lower rally highs. And the other index worth looking at is the bond market volatility, which remains really quite depressed. What is also interesting in here is the high yield bond ETF was in negative territory. It was, or it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but now it is looking like we're getting some consolidation. So far, this is just looking like consolidation. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get another pullback like we saw in January of last year, or indeed in December. But it does look like we're going to get at least some consolidation. Then, when we look at what's going on in China, well, the Chinese authorities moved rather quickly yesterday following the rather significant pullback in the stock market, and lowered the reserve requirements for banks. That's been their go-to tool to provide market support. Well, they're probably going to have to do a bit more than that in order to really start to repair investor sentiment. But at least the A-share index is finding support around the 3,000 level, and that is also coinciding with the region of the trend mean. So it's a natural area where we might anticipate some support starting to come back in. China has got a vested interest in terms of trying to put as brave a face on the situation as they can. So they're going to provide assistance. They'd already been providing assistance through the form of additional credit coming through from the banking sector for the private sector, and that is likely to accelerate if we get continued trade war escalation. I do continue to think that there is going to be a deal. It is really only a question of how long that is going to take. The longer it takes, the more likely we're going to see a process of rationalization and ranging unfold. The sector that generally tends to take this uptick in trade war rhetoric most hard is the commodities sector, because China is such a large consumer of commodities. Well, the continuous commodity index is right down at the lower side of its range. It is short-term oversold, but there's no sign yet of a return to demand dominance. Then, of course, if people are taking some risk off the table, the fact that the dollar is reasonably steady, that bonds are catching a bid as well, gold prices were in positive territory in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic manner. It still needs to do more in order to break the sequence of lower rally highs since the peak in February. The one asset which has emphatically been attracting interest over the course of the last few days is Bitcoin, and it got up to test the 6,000 level in here today. So it has put on $1,000 in just the last 7 sessions. I think the most important thing that it has done over the course of the last year has been to break up and out of that range, put in, and arguably a base formation, put in between December and March. There has been a considerable change. It's not simply that Bitcoin is a non-correlated asset, but the fact that you no longer have futures, that the futures contract has been removed, whereas you are now getting the primary obstacle to institutional investment in the asset class being dealt with by Fidelity, in particular, offering custody services. Well, that's a very significant change because it opens up the market to institutional buying. And they will want to own it from its non-correlated asset status. So that represents a potent source of additional new demand for the market. And I think that is perhaps why we've seen this breakout from the most recent one of these short-term ranges unfold now. If we then look at some of the commodities, well, when we look at coffee, it has been trending down now for months, and Arabica still has this sequence of lower rally highs. It is well established now below the dollar level, and there is a clear downward bias to trading. Well, it's at least going to have to break the downtrend in order to really begin to demonstrate we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, when we look at the cocoa price, it has failed to sustain the move up and out of its most recent range, and that increases the potential that it's going to go back down and test the lower side of that range. Looked at the tin market yesterday because it was coming right back down to test the lower side of a more than year-long range, and it was in negative territory again in here today. Copper prices, having stabilized yesterday, have given up some of that advance in here today. So this is certainly a period of I think disruption or unease in the commodity markets. Certainly it's creating some demand for safe havens. There's definitely some consolidation going on in stock markets. It really does depend on when this deal does get approved, when we start to see demand returning. The bigger picture, though, is that we are in the third year of the US presidential cycle. It is quite normal to see a period of underperformance in the first half of the third year, which creates the conditions for a new buying opportunity as monetary conditions ease. Well, we know that monetary conditions are going to ease in September one way or the other because the Federal Reserve is going to stop reducing the size of its balance sheet. So that is definitely happening in the third quarter. Well, what that potentially suggests is that we are due for some consolidation, and that will set up the next potential buying opportunity. It's quite likely that we see the second half of the third year and the fourth year of the US presidential cycle do tend to be the best. This isn't a rock solid prediction, but it does have a reasonable record of cyclicality. We also know that we are entering the least favorable time of the year. The old adage, sell in May, come back on St. Ledger's Day. Our Labor Day is still very much in force. We are in May. Often the rally can continue through to the end of May, but we do get a mid-summer lull, and we may start be starting to see that now. Again, that is likely to set up the next significant buying opportunity. So I think we are more likely than not at a pause here for markets that could last for a couple of months. And if that's all it is, well, then that will tee up a rather significant advance later. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.